All right, our scripture lesson this morning, we're out of the book of James, although I'm going to reference it one time a little bit later on. But we're in now to the gospel according to Luke this morning. And I'll be reading from Luke's gospel chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. If you're on the praise team or you receive our worship announcements each week that I send out to the team, you notice that the sermon title has changed. I initially called this sermon, What Type of Soil Are You? But then I realized I pretty well know what type of soil our audience is here, so we needed to change the focus a little bit. And so this morning's title is We Plow the Fields and Scatter, and I'll share more about that as we proceed through this morning's message. Hear now these words from the Gospel according to Luke, which include words of our Savior Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Jonah, the wife of Cuzza, and the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now we'll begin with verse 4 up on the screen. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When Jesus said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come and can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. May God add blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So this title in the bulletin and on the screen, perhaps, some of you will recognize this title from a musical by the name of Godspell. And when this musical was released back in the 70s, it was not well received among many Christians for one reason in particular, that it did not include the resurrection scene, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, you know, it's like you left hanging about what's going on in the life of Christ. You always wait for that when you go see Godspell. Now, over the years, it's become more accepted. But we're not here to talk about Godspell this morning. But I do want to share with you this title, We Plow the Fields and Scatter. It comes from the song in Godspell known as All Good Gifts. It goes like this. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground, on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter and warmth to swell the grain, the breezes in the sunshine, the soft, refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love. As you know, today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke within the New Testament. And what we're going to speak of today is known as the parable of the sower. Some also may refer to it as the parable of the soils. Either one, I suppose, could be acceptable. And we find in this passage that Jesus has been traveling around from town to village, from one town and village to another town and village, and so forth and so on. And he's there proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God. And we learn from the early part of that passage of chapter 8 that Jesus has along with him some companions. And the companions that are along with him are named the 12. And whenever you see the 12, in some places later on, it'll be the 11 because we know one of them, Judas, was no longer with him. But when you see the 12, it means the disciples of Jesus were with him. And then in verses 3 and 4, they also have some women named. And I've already read them. I'm not going to name them here. But there were some women that were along with Jesus. And it's important to note about these women, the reason that they were with Jesus is that they were healed. Their lives were converted because of something that Jesus, some miracle that he performed in their lives, and they became followers of Jesus Christ. And as they followed along, they supported him with their service, and it says with their means. So they helped Jesus in the things that he needed along the way. They also provided resources of time and talent and treasure to help Jesus in his ministry, much the way churches do today with pastors and missionaries as they serve in partnership with them. And Luke records then at the beginning of our chapter here that there was a large crowd that began to gather. A large crowd of people started to come around because whenever Jesus is around, it seems like there are people that want to come and hear him, that hear about what he has done or have benefited from something that he has done. And this is where Jesus begins to tell this parable. Now, you know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is a form of teaching. It's a form of teaching that Jesus used many, many times throughout the scriptures. It's a good teaching method because he uses imagery that is familiar, something that you would understand. So when he's with farmers, he talks about farming and so on. A parable that is taught also has some hidden meanings. And this has always bothered me as I read this scripture without any preparation or understanding. Why would there be something hidden among the message that God has? Well, we're going to hear about that today and understand that a little bit more. There are hidden meanings, but for those within this parable, there were also those believers that heard this parable, there were also challenges within it that got them to thinking and asking more questions. I think good teachers are teachers that prompt their students to ask more questions, because when you're asking questions, you're learning. A terrible way to say there is no such thing as a stupid question. When I was in school, I didn't always know what to think about asking a question. I felt like maybe I should already know the answer, or the teacher might put me down because I didn't know the answer. But it's always good to ask a question, and Jesus was hopeful that there would be questions. Now, those that were in this Bible, in the Bible verse that's here for us today, tells us that some of this truth was concealed. It was concealed to those that were non-believers or not yet believers or people that did not fully comprehend what Jesus was trying to teach them about. So the parable of the sower is one of three parables that is in all of the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find also in each of those the parable of the sower. And the other two are the parable of the mustard seed. The other is the parable of the vineyard. So as Jesus begins to tell his story, he tells about a farmer who went to sow seed. And as he was scattering this seed, and this is something that I think is interesting, he seemed to just be scattering the seed anywhere and everywhere. There was no rhyme nor reason to it. It didn't matter where it fell. But the farmer in this parable was sowing seed like it had no end, like it was there was a never-ending supply of seed. And so he just non-sparingly tossed it out every which way, and it fell all over the place. We find, first of all, that it fell upon a path. And I think we have some pictures. Yeah, and this is a perfect example of a path in the middle of a field. Now, if you're a farmer, you may recognize this today as the path where the tractors go and how you get access to the field. So when the seed fell upon this path, though, in this time period, in the biblical time, these were paths where people actually walked to get through. And so that soil that they walked upon would become hardened, right? Because as you walk on a path, nothing can grow up from it. It gets tight, and the soil, there's not a lot of give to it. And so it would be trampled on, the seed that was spread there. And then Jesus said that the birds of the air would come along, and they would eat up that seed or snatch that seed from that path. And you could see, maybe a little more trampled than this path, but you can see how it would be hard for a seed to take root here. Now, some of it also fell upon a rock. Hey, there we go. Some fell on a rock, and when it came up, the plants would wither and die, because while there might have been a little bit of soil on the top of those rocks, when the sun would come out, it would scorch the plant because there wasn't enough moisture, and those rocks would just sizzle with the sun, and so there was no way that the seed could grow up from the rock. It also said then that other seed fell upon thorns or weeds. Good picture of thorns, right? So as they would grow up, as the plants would be scattered among the thorns, they might grow up for a little while, and then once they started to grow, they'd be choked out by the thorns. And then still other soil or other seed that was cast was put onto good soil. And here's an example of good soil. This looks like a really nice garden or plot of land somewhere. And here we have good soil. And in the scripture, the farmer in the story tells us that the seed that fell on the good soil produced a crop of 100-fold. Now, if you look at this scripture passage in Matthew and in Mark, you'll see there that they say 30, 60, and 100-fold. But here in our purposes today, it says 100-fold. So unlike the song that I started with, quoted with this morning, All Good Gifts, sowing in the Eastern world was not done the way that we do it here. And we don't have much understanding because we've so advanced now. My son tells me about riding in air-conditioned tractors and, you know, pushing a button in a computer and it does all the work for you. And you know, as you're driving the tractor along and planting seeds and all this, I don't think it's nearly as labor-intensive as it once was. But in the Eastern culture, they would cast the seed first and then later plow the field under, plow the seeds under. That's not like us. And unlike the fields of our day, the actual fields of the Western world, as I indicated already, the roads were used, for actual pathways. People actually walked past through the farm fields to get to one place to another. And so, as I said, the surfaces would become too hard and nothing would grow up there. Or like the rocks, where the soil would be maybe a little bit of soil, but those plants would eventually wither and die. And then with the weeds, they'd be choked out. When I was young, I walked beans, and I've asked this question here before, if anybody ever walked beans before, knows what that is. Maybe that wasn't the thing here, but when I was growing up, a farmer lived across the street from me, and he had a lot of land, and every year he would ask my brother and me if we could come walk beans. And what that meant is we were going to be pulling weeds out of his bean fields. And so he gave us, we'd always bring a hoe or something, and you just simply chop those weeds as you came along them and the row. Why? Because they would eventually choke out some of the beans, and he didn't want that. It would mess with his yield. And so we walked those beans. And then the return of the crop that we find in this passage is really based on the quality of the soil. So you see all of the first three types of soil, they're not really that good. We've got a thorny, a rocky soil, a hard path. None of those are conducive for anything to take root and to grow. You might get a little bit of growth, but nothing that's going to make any difference. And then the parable just abruptly ends. It just stops. Jesus stops. And then in the midst of that, he says this to his disciples and to the crowd that is gathered around him, these words: "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. This leads to an inquiry from the disciples. What does this parable mean? So you see earlier when I talked about Jesus teaching a parable that would prompt someone who was interested in it would ask more questions. It happened. So the disciples and the women and the followers that were gathered there, they asked Jesus to explain that which what he just first told them about. What does this parable mean? And Jesus gives to them what I said earlier, what I think is kind of a strange answer. And he's quoting from the book of Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 9, and he says these words, directly quoted from that prophet: "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you," that is the disciples, those that are believers, "but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see," and this is the quote from Isaiah, "and though hearing, they may not understand." End of quote. It seems like here that the truth is being concealed purposefully, that there's some reason that it's being withheld from those that are hearing it. What I think we need to understand here is that the Word of God is given to multiple people, all kinds of different people. And it is only known and heard and seen when God reveals it to that person, when their soil of their life or their heart or their mind is open to receive it. The sad fact of this quote, or the sad fact of this passage of Scripture, in my opinion, is that there seems to be an unwillingness of some to hear the message. Some have a difficult time hearing it for various reasons, and their ultimate faith, their ultimate truth, rather, seems to be hidden from them. Now listen to this from Matthew's version of this same story, and I'll be reading from Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said about the parable of the sower, and after this quote that I just read to you from Isaiah, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." What does Jesus say about the people? He says that their heart had become calloused. Their heart had become calloused. So it's not Jesus intentionally or purposefully holding secrets or withholding the so-called secrets or the understanding of the kingdom of God from people. It's on people. He said it's because of their calloused hearts. It's because of their heart and soul, their closed mind. Their eyes aren't able to see, even though they can physically see. They spiritually can't see. Even though they can hear, they cannot spiritually hear and understand what it is that God is saying. So Jesus goes on then to explain this parable. The sower or the farmer in this parable is none other than Jesus himself. The seed is nothing less than the almighty word of God, the message that comes to all of us from God himself. The birds of the air that are mentioned early on in this passage represent Satan, who comes to snatch and steal away the word of God so that we won't believe and therefore will not be saved. Those along the path, now notice in each and every one of these, in this path, people are hearing. People hear initially, at least superficially. They're listening. They hear. But somehow they're off in another world. And so he says the ones that hear in this, the first ones with the path, the devil's purpose is to come along so that they will not hear and take that away from them, take that seed away from them, and they will not receive that message in their heart. The people hear, but they don't understand what they're hearing. They don't see, they don't hear clearly. And so the word of God is never able to fully take root in them because of their calloused minds and souls and hearts. They do not hear. The next one is that rock again. And these are people that says they hear, but they believe for a little while. Over the years of being a pastor, I have seen this many, many times. People that are fired up about Jesus. They got to join the church. They got to get involved. They're going to do everything. And they last for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and then they burn out or they're gone. I've seen this play out many times. There's a superficial belief that doesn't really sink in. And Jesus, and in the book of James, which I promised I'd share with you again, faith without works, people that are doing, accepting faith but are not taking on those works, not doing those things, their faith is dead. It is useless, as James says in chapter 2, verse 20. The word of God never takes root in them. And for a while, the scripture says that they believe with enthusiasm, that they believe with great joy. But they fall away because of difficulties that come up. Many people join the church and they think incorrectly that all the problems of life will disappear, that they'll never struggle again, that they'll be rich and wealthy, that they'll have good health. And I see those smiles and those chuckles out there this morning. It's not the truth. But there are people out there preaching it, making millions of dollars. Many of them are in the South on television. Not me. Then there's that seed that falls along the thorns. It also stands for those to hear. But yet they go on about life, about their lives. They get excited about Jesus for a little while, but guess what? Worries come along. Life's hard. Life's challenging. They worry about the wrong kinds of things of the world, like riches and power and fame and likes on social media and pleasures of this world. And the scriptures say very clearly that these people do not mature. There are people in churches today that are still like this. They're living, they're surviving, they're superficial, but they're not really thriving because they're concerned with wrong things. They're concerned with the world and what people are going to say. We have a lot of this going on in our community right now, as you may know. But then there's the seed that is good. The seed that falls, and all the seed is good, but the seed that falls on the good soil. It stands, what Jesus says, for those that are noble and have a good heart, who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, catch that word, don't miss that word, and by persevering, they hold on, they don't stop, they don't give up, they produce a crop. And these are the people that not only hear the word, these are the people that see the word with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears. They don't only see it and hear it, but they understand it, they apply it, and they persevere through the difficulties of life, and they allow that word of God to permeate their hearts and their minds, and they mature in their faith, and they continue to grow in their faith until the day of their last breath, and they produce a bountiful spiritual harvest and spiritual fruit. That's the parable explained as Jesus explains it. Now, verses 16 and 18 seem like they're maybe a second half of this scripture. They broke it apart in here and called it a lamp on a stand. Many are familiar with this passage of scripture. Over the years, and even currently, church leaders and members ask this question of me many times, and other of my colleagues as well. What do we do to get the church to grow? Or they've made this statement to me, we really could use some more young people in the church. Well, here's what Jesus has to say about it. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. That's it. That's the answer. Witness. Tell the truth. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under the bed. Don't put it under a jar or under a bowl, as it says in other places. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't hide it in this sacred space. But take it out from your Sunday school classes and Bible study groups and your personal prayer times, and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Scatter that seed. Don't worry, it's never going to run out. Just keep on scattering it. And as we learn and as we see from this scripture, no matter how much seed you cast, there's always an abundant supply right here where you can go and get more. And as some of it we saw fell on hard soil, some of it fell on rocky soil, some of it fell on thorny soil, and it didn't grow. Nothing happened. How many times does that happen in this church and churches across the land where they've worked and worked and worked the land and nothing happened? But guess what? Just like that one lost coin, that one lost sheep, that one lost son, they kept on going. They kept on thriving. They kept on working. And they found that one, and that one was what counted. That's why we have hope. That's why the Word of God is the hope of the church. We keep scattering that seed. We keep sharing that seed with the world. Even Jesus himself said these words, if someone does not accept your word, the Word of God, just simply dust the sandals off and move on to the next one. Yeah, it's discouraging at times. You work hard and you don't seem to get any results. How many of you'd like to farm and not get any return at all? Yeah, no return at all if you farm. If you'd like to do that, no. I don't think anybody would really like to farm and not get a return. Welcome to ministry. This happens from many, many times. You work hard. The church works hard. You plan things. You pay for things. And it seems like it's not making a difference. But Jesus says that we should spread that word, that we should share that truth, and he intends that his disciples will then take that truth and they will make it known widely all over the place. He says in Matthew 5:16, these very familiar words, "Let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deed and praise your Father in heaven." Friends, it's our job to shine the light. It's our job to share the word of God, to scatter the seed. And then Jesus also gives, right before he departs for heaven, this great commission in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And get this, and behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." Jesus told his disciples, Jesus told his followers that were there that day, and he's telling us now, go, go, go into all the world. Let your light shine. Preach the word. Be faithful in following him. And call all people into relationship with him. We must obey those teachings. We must pass them along from one generation to the next. That is our job right now. This church needs to continue to work at passing along the faith to the next generation. And this message is for all people. And in this time and in this culture and in this country, we must understand that this message is not for people that just think alike. This message is for every single person, no matter what color you are, no matter what country you come from, no matter what the color of your skin or culture or nation, God's word is for all people. Amen? Jesus promises that he will be with us always. Something that's exciting to me is the fact that Jesus hangs out with sinners. I love this about Jesus. Sinners and tax collectors, people who the religious people cast off, made fun of, were threatened by, because Jesus was hanging out with them. Jesus, the Son of God, hung out with sinners. Jesus, being God himself, hung out with sinners. And yet, as I read and hear about the social media and the things that are going on in this community right now, I'm sickened by it, because I see the fact that there are many Christians that are hurling many kinds of insults and hateful and hurtful things to a portion of our community. Is that really the message that the church wants to send? Is that really who we are as Christ followers? Or instead, are we going to follow the example of Jesus and show love and encouragement and be there as a listening ear and sharing the word of God instead of pointing the finger and worrying about the speck in someone else's eye and not the log in our own? We're really good at this as a church, and it's wrong and it's unbiblical and it needs to stop. Someone needs to call these people to accountability. What we're trying to do here at First Baptist Church is serve our community and love God's people like Jesus did. It's about not only expanding First Baptist Church, but as one member reminded me of a former minister in this church, it's about expanding the Word of God, the kingdom of God, through evangelism and discipleship. You see, Jesus had a heart for all people in the world, including you and me and all the rest of us sinners in this church this morning, and all the rest of the sinners in Greenville that hide behind their social media posts. But remember, just as the seed in this parable, not all of our efforts are going to make a difference. You will be threatened. You will be looked at funny. People will say things about you behind your back. Many people will hear, but not everybody will respond. just look what they did to Jesus. Perhaps today our world and our hearts have grown hard. Politics has divided us. We're consumed with difficulties and worries about the world, the ways of this world, and seem to take precedent over the Word of God. The ways that we live and act in this world seem to take precedent over God's Word. But yet some will hear, some will believe, some will see, and they will allow the Word of God to take root, and lives will be changed. Things will be made better. We shouldn't give up. We are the sowers in this story now. You, me, we are the sowers in this story today. God sends us out. God tells us to go and cast that seed in rough and hard places, in rocky places, in thorny places, and yes, in good places. God tells us to cast that seed and just keep doing it and never give up, because that is our hope. But we must remember, as that song says, and I believe this is scriptural as well, we might be the ones that plow the field, we might be the ones that scatter the seed, but it is God's almighty hand that makes it grow. And the problem that we have as Christians and as churches is we take that as our responsibility. That is not our responsibility. Yes, we plow the field, yes, we scatter the seed, but it is God's almighty hand. God's almighty hand, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, that helps it to take root, that softens that heart, that opens those eyes, that opens those ears and allows them to hear. God's almighty hand. Now in closing, in verses 17 and 18, I want to further clarify that in this scripture, there are no secrets. Jesus is not trying to keep secrets from those who are hearing this message. Jesus concludes with an explanation about verse 16, and he says this in verses 17 and 18, nothing will be hidden, nothing will be concealed. All will be brought into the open. The disciples were to begin now a proclamation that was to go into all the world, that would eventually reach this country and other countries and other people that don't look like us or act like us or vote like us or live like us, people that struggle. That was their message. The disciples were to begin that proclamation, and we are those disciples today. We are the ones that are mandated, commanded to continue in that way. And then in the second half, or the first half of verse 18, there it says, Jesus told his disciples, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. Because what you hear is what it is that you then will tell others about God. Be careful how you listen. Listening for the ones to which you will then minister. That's the message that Jesus gave to his disciples. Be careful. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you listen. And then he concludes that this chapter today that we're studying, this portion of Scripture, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. This is not referring to stuff and position and power. This is referring to what we think we have in our hearts as the Word of God. Be careful what you do with it. Be careful how you listen. The truth must not only be heard, but it must be understood. It must be applied. It must be shared, even and especially in those difficult places. with those that are lost. And isn't that why Jesus came? To seek and save the lost. There are people lost. But the truth that is used, the truth that is told, according to this scripture, when that path is softened, when those weeds are pulled, when those rocks are moved, God's word can take root and lives can be changed. Jesus said, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Friends, consider carefully how you listen. Let us pray. And this prayer is the closing word. This prayer uses the words of the closing prayer from the song "All Good Gifts" from Godspell. Let us pray. We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love. I really want to thank you, Lord. Amen.